So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Good morning, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking. Oh my goodness, I am so tired. Oh, just so tired from all that jet lag, sleeping like an absolute log. But we've only been back 2 days. I'm just so tired all the time. It's catching up on jet lag's really hard. Anyway, so in this podcast, I want to talk to you about a Facebook post that I saw. And the Facebook post was about a guy, and he's looking at BMWs and some really nice cars out there. But he was looking at BMWs. He was talking about spending like 80,000 or 90,000 pounds. First of all, if you're going to spend 80 or 90 grand, why buy a BMW? You have a really nice Aston Martin for that. Why would you? I don't get that. Just go up a level, and that's kind of like your belief systems about what car you can have and what it costs to run. A BMW is going to cost as much as at that stage level. It's going to cost as much as an Aston to run. It's not cheap, but then neither is the car. So that's number one, okay? This is why this future car or this car is going to cost you your future. So I'm just looking at the podcast. Why your fancy new car you have your eye on will cost you your future is what it's supposed to say. So, but this guy's going to buy this car using money that he has to go to work for in order to buy a thing that depreciates over a period of time. It just makes so little sense on so many different angles. So let's deal with the first angle first of all. The first angle is he's going to buy a car using money from his job. So what happens if you lose your job? You can't afford your car. That's number one, okay? Number two is from a tax point of view, let's say this guy's on, I don't know what he's on, let's say he's on 100 grand a year. At least 50 grand of that, at least, I don't know what the 40% tax rate is. Is it £35,000? Something like that, maybe 45 grand, I forget. Let's call it 50 grand because I can't remember. 40% of that, 50 grand. So what, about 20 grand is going to go on tax. So let me get this right. He earns 100 grand a year, and then he gets a ton of tax, and then after the tax is paid, he's then going to pay for his car. That's called post-tax pound investing. What you want to be doing is doing pre-tax pound investing. Pre-tax pound investing is I've got a business that gives me 100 grand a year. I then lease the car, which I can offset against my profits on my income as a business. Plus, I'm using pre-tax money. So I've not been taxed on this money first. So if you take 100 grand a year and you've got, let's just make it really easy numbers-wise, let's say you've got £25,000 in car payments, and technically you've only earned £75,000 and you're going to get taxed on 75 grand. Whereas if you earn £100,000 a year as an employee, you pay your tax on your 100 grand and then you're paying for your car. That's the difference between post-tax pound investing and pre-tax pound investing. You've got to understand these two differences. Now, obviously, if you've got a business, that's not residual income, unless you have a business that generates residual income. Most people don't. We're lucky because the digital marketing company that we own is a subscription service, like Netflix, if you like Netflix and marketing. But every month we have residual income coming in. I don't have to, you know, if I don't work this month, for example, the money still comes in, and I have staff that manage the delivery of that product. So I can take a month off and it actually doesn't make a difference in terms of my income. Okay, we're not taking on more sales because I'm not there to sell. But other than that, it doesn't make a difference. But when you're working in a job, if you don't turn up for your job, yeah, fine, you get four weeks holiday. But what if you want to go away for 6 months? You can't do that. What if you lose your job? You can't do that. So good morning, Tony. So the whole point here is that if you're going to go out and buy a nice car, you've got to be buying it, first of all, before you pay your tax. You want to pay tax after you've paid for the car. And so this is why people lease, because it takes it off the income on your business. So if your business is doing £100,000 a year, let's say in profit, and your tax payments are costing you £20,000 a year, you can offset that because it's a business asset. It's a resource for your business. This is why people lease, because you can remove the entire amount of the lease from that amount. So So then you're paying less tax. So that's the front end stuff. There's some back end stuff I want to talk about, but which I'm going to talk about in a second, but I just want to finish up on this front end stuff. I need you to understand the difference between post-tax pound investing and pre-tax pound investing. If you don't do this, you're costing yourself that much more tax. I mean, you know, we're obviously in the higher rate tax bracket, and I saw the tax bill come in, and I'm like, whoa, 40% on how much? And we're like, it's not good. I'm like, how can we get rid of that? Because it's not good. And then I look at where my tax pounds are going and the way that the British government decides to sell them, decides to spend them. And I'm like, oh, that's not good. So I don't want to pay tax. Tax is theft, in my view. But that's pre-tax pound investing. You've got to get that right. This guy's working in a job, and even if you're working in a business, it's still better. At least you're not pre-tax pound investing. But if your business stops, your income stops, and so on. What you want to be doing is you want to be spending it on residual income. So unless your residual income from a third-party asset like property, not your own business, unless it's a subscription service on your business, okay, but a third-party asset like a property or like stocks and shares, unless that income is paying for that car, you shouldn't be buying fancy new cars. That's just the bottom line. And I know what people are saying. Well, I work hard, I play hard. And that phrase to me just means I work hard, I work 12-hour days, and then at weekends I get shit-faced. Oh, I work hard and I play hard. It's a work hard, play hard culture. It means it's an alcohol culture. It doesn't make any sense to me. But if you're having to make money at a job to pay for the car, you shouldn't be buying that car. Like, I'm not saying you shouldn't buy any car, because you can go low level, buy a £2,000, £3,000, £4,000, £5,000 car maybe to get you to the point where your income is more than the car would cost. So like, if I go out and buy a Ferrari and it costs me £1,000 a month on a Ferrari, which you can do, okay, if you can lease it, then that's awesome because my residual income is covering that car. And then all I have to do is wait till next month, and I get another £1,000 to pay for the car. And then all I have to do is wait another month and wait for the next £1,000 to pay for that car. If I have a job, I can't wait till next month because I have to get up and go to work. Whereas if I've got property, I don't need to do that. If I've got assets, I don't need to do that. So your assets, your income from your assets should be paying for that car. And if you can't afford the car, then you shouldn't be buying the car. It's not rocket science. But it's never taught anywhere. And it's meant to be like, it's acceptable that you go out and spend as much money as you can on a car. And we're having this conversation. I went out with a couple of guys last night. We're talking about alcohol and the way that it's accepted. Alcohol is one of the biggest killers on the planet. Second, probably, to sugar. I don't know where cancer sits with us. But, well, like, probably cancer, then you've got sugar, then you've got alcohol. I reckon. Much more than smoking. Like, smoking's not great either. But why is alcohol acceptable? So you watch EastEnders, someone has a car accident, so they go to the pub, you're like, yeah, get this down, you can have a whiskey. They don't say it like that. I go, all right, mate. Get this down, so we have a whiskey. And then it's acceptable. This alcohol culture that we have, it's acceptable. This culture of buying stuff that we can't afford on credit cards, that's acceptable. This culture of spending money that you haven't got to buy a fancy new car, because there's this idea that it'll make you look wealthier than you actually are. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, I've had a beautiful Porsche 911, 42.5 grand, which was 15 years ago, that price. Beautiful, bright yellow car, and I bought that car because I was like, I don't want to spend that much, I want everyone to see it, right? And it's a beautiful car to drive, you want to get to there, you're straight there. Beautiful car, loved it. And then I looked at the depreciation. We sold that car 18 months later for 28 grand. And that's not including the 6 sets of tyres that we went through in 18 months. So, you know, the cost on that car was astronomical. And I'm lucky because I was in property at the time and I was actually earning quite a lot of money from property and doing refurbs. But even doing refurbs, I'm doing a refurb and spending all that money on a car. That's crazy. That doesn't work either. I know it's in property, but it's the wrong type of property. It's not residual. If I don't keep refurbing properties, I can't afford the car. That doesn't make sense. I shouldn't have bought that car, and I regret doing so. Like, it was great. I remember driving in Wales with the hood down, going around all these roads in the summer, and it was sunny with music on. You go up this hill. It just felt like you were flying. Felt amazing. I'd trade it if I could go back and get that car, not buy that car in the way that I did. I would completely trade that because it was just a stupid, stupid idea made acceptable by culture. Oh, well, he must be doing all right. Look at his car. What a crazy thing to say. I remember my brother saying, oh, well, he's doing all right. He's bought himself a new Audi TT. No. What you're saying is he's just got himself into debt for £400 a month using post-tax pound invested, actually. Do you know what I mean? You try explaining that to my brother. You're mad. Because he's indoctrinated into this idea that you go out and buy a fancy car and you keep it clean and this is what shows you wealth. And it's just completely utter bollocks. It just doesn't make any sense. Nothing shows you wealth as much as not having to work, having time freedom. I like Grant Cardone's idea of you can fake the Bugatti or the Ferrari or the Lambo, but you can't fake the jet. I quite like that. And yeah, okay, a jet is a good way of showing your wealth. But actually, the jet that Grant has is a depreciating asset using pre-tax pound investing, pre-tax dollar investing. His company pays for that jet. He gets use out of it, but when he goes to St. Bart's, that's a business meeting. He just happens to have a family with him, but there's a business meeting because his wife's a director in a company. It's a business meeting. His kids will be getting paid an income. Every time you see, like, I don't know this, right? But think about this. Every time Grant's children show up on stage, do you think they get paid for that by Grant's company? Yeah. Like, I don't know for sure. Of course they do. What's your tax allowance these days before you have to earn tax? That's what they'll be earning, and that'll be going away into a pot that will be going into the Grant Cardone Fund, into real estate that then generates cash flow. That's what happens. That's how it works. Anyway, okay, so that's all the front-end stuff. Let's talk about the back-end stuff. Now, for most people, they'll go out and get a loan for a car. Let's say it's a 20 grand car. Let's bring the price down a little bit. Get a loan for a 20 grand car. What you're doing is you're borrowing money, very, very expensive money. You know, you can get a mortgage and you're paying between 3% and 7%, let's say, on money. So it's good debt, we call it. But you're not using that money. You're actually going to the bank and you're getting a loan for between 10 and 20%. Crazy money, right? And then you're taking that 20% or 15%, let's call it 15, and you're spending that on a £20,000 car. So you've just bought this £20,000 car, which over 4 years will cost you, I don't know, £23,000, £24,000, £25,000, right? Now you've just got a £25,000, like some people will call this an asset. It's not an asset. Don't put money in your pocket. You've got this £25,000 thing. It's not £20,000 because you've got to get a loan for it, right? So, and even if you had the £20,000 in your pocket, you could put that £20,000 into something else that could get you a 20% return. So it's still costing you 20% is that money, right? Don't be confused about this. It's still costing you 20%. I know some people struggle in like, hey, is that right? Yeah, it's right. It's called opportunity cost, the cost of putting your money into one thing rather than something else. I've got a pound. Do I buy a Twix or a Mars bar? I can only do one or the other. Do I buy a Mars bar or do I pay down a pound of debt? Obviously, if I'm paying down a pound of debt on a credit card, I'm saving myself 20%. If I'm not and I buy the Mars bar, that Mars bar's not costing me a pound, it's costing me £1.20 this year. Right? Think about this. This year. Oh, this is a good podcast. What about next year? What? Next year? It's only a pound on the Mars bar. I just wanted the Mars bar. Next year, that pound that came off your credit card, you've now dropped that credit card down by a pound. The following year, you're not paying 20%. So now that Mars bar's cost you £1.38. I don't know what the numbers are. I know these numbers sound crazy, right? Dan, it's just a Mars bar. I just wanted a Mars bar. I got to eat. And I get that. It's costing you 20% a year. If you've got debt, that's what it's costing you. And if you haven't got debt, it's costing you 20% because they're the returns that you could get. I'm hoping this is sinking in, folks. Every single pound that you spend, every single pound, like, people go nuts over me and my spreadsheet. I've got a spreadsheet and every single pound is on it. And I get really upset when it doesn't go right, when a tenant doesn't pay. I'm like, you motherfucker, that's my money. And that's not my money this year. That's my money in 20 years. Because that £500 a month that you've decided not to pay, that £1,000, remember, £5,000 over 20 years at 20% is £191,000. We looked at it on a previous podcast. £5,000 over 20 years at 20% return is £191,000. And don't tell me you can't get 20% returns, because I know that you can. We're in a couple right now. And then if you've got debt as well, credit card debt, well, there's your 20% anyway. Right there, pay your credit cards down. It's costing you 20%. It's costing your future life. The pound that you spend on that Mars bar is going to cost you 100 and, I can't do the maths. Whatever it's going to cost you at 20% per year, it's going to cost you a lot over the next 20 years. A Mars bar, as ridiculous as that sounds. And so when people go out and they buy a nice jumper and it's £50, I'm like, what the heck are you doing? Where's that money come from? Well, I worked overtime. Oh, my goodness me. Put the overtime money into assets that will generate cash flow. Even if it's crappy dividends, like not all dividends are crappy. I was reading about how Warren Buffett got a pay rise from Apple because Apple keep increasing their dividend. And yet look at the Apple share price, it's gone down. Warren Buffett bought those shares years and years and years ago, but he's still benefiting from, he got like a $750,000 pay rise, which is nothing to Warren Buffett. It's not even pocket change. So, Mars bars, don't buy them. Let's go back to the car. You've got this 20 grand car. You're spending 25 grand on it because now you've got to pay for the money that you're borrowing. Now you've got depreciation on this car. Depreciation on a £20,000 car. What's that worth after 4 years? 12? Like maybe £12,000? So let me just get this right. Okay, over 4 years, you spent £25,000. And at the end of it, you've got a £12,000 thing. Or you could spend £20,000 and after 5 years, whatever 20% compounded is on that 20 grand, what is that? 10% for, so it's at least 20 grand. It's about, is that right? Yeah, it's at least 20 grand without compounding. So you can end up with a £12,000 thing, or you can end up with a £40,000 thing, and then you just do the same again. It just doesn't make sense. But then, obviously, we're going to take compounding into account as well. So £20,000 at 20%, that's an extra £4,000. £24,000 at 20% is an extra £4,800. That's, I can't even do the maths. That's £28,000, nearly 30 grand. But no, you go buy your car and let it be worth £12,000 that you spent £25,000 on. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I know that I rattle on about numbers and spreadsheets and it's boring and all the rest of it. But I'll tell you what's not boring. It's going, let's go to Disneyland. Let's buy a jet ski. Let's go to the New York, stay five star. That's what's not boring. I would even question that, by the way. What do you mean you bought a jet ski? What do you mean you're going to New York? Where's that money coming from? Unless it's coming from residual income, you shouldn't be doing it. Like, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a holiday, but you should be thinking about where the money's come from to pay for that holiday. And you can use that as your motivation. And you could go, but Dan, we only earn £1,000 on residual income. Great, we'll spend that on your holiday. £1,000 holiday. Where can I go for £1,000? Well, you can go to Blackpool, or you can jump on you can go to Benidorm. And, well, I don't want to do that. Exactly. So that's motivation for you, so that next year you've got £5,000 residual income. And you can spend that on your holiday. Oh, I see. So that's your motivation. So I only spend that residual income on fancy stuff. Yes. I mean, technically, right at the start of things, you shouldn't be spending it on anything. You should be putting it back into something to generate more cash flow. That's how it works. And people just don't seem to get it. People, I'm going to buy this £90,000 BMW. That's crazy. What are you doing? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, look, I hope that's useful for you. I'm so tempted to get back to bed because I'm struggling with jet lag so much, but it's not going to help me in the long run. So I'll just have to bite the bullet. Got a very busy day today. But I hope that's useful on money, because, like, nobody else will talk to you about money in this way. Obviously, very, very few people, because it's such a taboo subject. And people go, oh, no, that's wrong. Well, you can think it's wrong, but then the work that we're doing is enabling us to live the lifestyle of our choices. Was it easy? Of course it wasn't. It was really hard. And even today, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we have choices that we make But we're like, do we want to do that? Or do we actually want to, oh, we want to buy an investment. Should we buy investments? So I hope that's useful for you. We'll catch up with you in tomorrow's podcast. My name's Dan Latta. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.